This is an example of speech.
All our history of broiling war.
Welcome to Tell Me What to Think, a free from oversight and free of charge, thoughtfully improvised, expletive deleted, details expanded, whistle blow hard evergreen topical heatwave of an ongoing conversation turned podcast, in which we discuss politics, global affairs, current events, and anything else that bubbles up from the unmoderated comment section in our brains. We urge you to join us and tell us what you think. To listen to the archives, go to stoneduckmedia.com or tellmewhattothink.com. You can contact us at tmwttpod@gmail.com. I'm Peter Albro. You can contact me on Twitter at BloatedNemesis. And I have with me, as always and forever, Charles Minnick, who is on Twitter at Green_Weird, which is spelled W-Y-R-D. This episode, we tell you what to think about blowing up the system. Prepare to get righteous and reactionary. This is Tell Me What to Think. Time to get on our soap pod and tell you what to think.
Fighting over against to sell cocaine is just incontrovertibly insane. Revocation of the old voice network. Decision signed with a shake
anyway,
and a
smirk.
Centralized stage can turn a blind eye.
I keep
those
hearing,
benefit, never ask why. Just sit back,
you know, just ever since really the 2015-16, you know, since that campaign, you know, like Morning Joe types, but not exclusively, you know, say things like, just matter-of-factly, you know, Trump is wants to blow up the system, or it's Trump's voters want him to blow up the system, and I'll hear that occasionally about Bernie, and
an interesting difference
between the voters and the candidate?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I feel as if it's mostly used about the voters, but, you know, it's hard not to take some conclusion along those lines from especially Trump's campaign-type rhetoric, which is a little different than his.
Yeah, he was never interested in governing.
But I think it's almost like his, like, antagonism and, like, lack of professionalism and empathy, like, makes it seem like he wants to blow up the system, but it's just incompetence. It's like,
I mean, he's going to start blowing up the parts of the bureaucracy that are trying to bite back at him, but
yeah, so, okay, so premise is, and those candidates often are also called populist, which we've kind of talked in the past, how there's different meanings of that. So along those lines, like, I think it's clear that when someone says, whether it be a Morning Joe person or whoever, you know, Bernie Sanders wants to blow up the system, Donald Trump wants to blow up the system, they mean different things, even if they have an antagonistic view of both candidates. Like, even
that could have different meanings coming from MSNBC and Fox News.
Yeah.
Like, that could be complimentary in one case and, you know, a warning
exactly
in the other.
Yeah. So, like, even if you have a positive or negative, you know,
interpretation of that remark.
But, like, you know, I mean, it's, you know, on some level, the differences are obvious. You know, Bernie wants to more break up, you know, sort of an economic system. Trump wants to break up, I think, a social system.
We'll never be a socialist country.
What was that?
Never be a socialist country.
Well, what I mean is Trump wants, like, his people are interested in kind of that social political overlap, you know, the world, the America's changing around us, you know, less white.
Is it?
I think
interest rates working against each other. Like, he's using the event. I mean, it's kind of a logical extension of what's been happening for decades, but he's using the evangelicals and social Republicans as cover to enact a very, very strong plan for global hegemonic control. Like a new American empire.
Go on.
So, with the entire empire now being hid behind a wall of classification, but, you know, somehow expanding, we have to really be worried about I'm sorry, I lost the track of that thought, but...
Well, I'm sure there's a lot we need to be worried about. But in terms of, like, American hegemony, I don't... Because I don't see Trump that...
Well, that's because it's not being reported, because all of it's classified. I mean, we've, like, what, quadrupled the number of strikes in Somalia? And I don't know if you read that article in the New York Times last weekend about the war crimes researcher who went to Mogadishu, but that was pretty heartbreaking.
No. You're implying to research war crimes by American services.
Yeah, like they're in the Lower Shabelle region in Somalia where Al-Shabaab is still managing to cling on because of the insurgency that we're creating with our destructive airstrikes and, you know, military policy. But that's getting us way off of our point.
Well, okay, but let's go along these lines. So, because I do want to get into... let me say my main goal for the conversation. What got me to think about this is if Trump's voters voted for him, and presumably part of his approval ratings and things like that are based off of voters who want him to blow up some system, and blow up is subjective, but whatever that means, they want, you know, kind of face value, there seems to be a dissatisfaction, resentment, and wanting radical change from some aspect of his base. And I'll say personally, I can see that in people I know who are conservative that, like, wouldn't have used those words, but I almost feel as if them buying into Trump more makes them more of that type of voter. And contrast that with then actually how he's governing. What systems are he blowing up as, and how is he doing it as the actual president? And then how does that factor into losing, gaining people, doesn't fucking matter for 2020?
Okay.
And so let's look at, like, well, what is he fucking doing governing? And you're bringing up something. I mean, like, the foreign policy establishment is a particularly in D.C., obviously, is a super entrenched thing with its tendrils and military-industrial complex and all, you know, all that, obviously. And so you're saying he wants to reshape that or use that to reshape something?
I mean, he's in this case, I'd almost say he's being used because judging from the amount of content that he seems to digest in his briefings, he's being given, like, a menu option rather than being included in any kind of planning process. Like, I imagine Obama seems like a detail-oriented individual who is probably in the weeds in some of these policies, but do you think Trump would give this the same? Reduced the number of presidential briefings from daily to, like, two or three times a week.
I know.
So,
does that mean they're still producing them daily and he's not seeing it daily? And it's like Kushner and Bolton seeing it? Or are they just making three a week? That wasn't clear when I saw that reporting.
Well, it's just a summary of intelligence that they're constantly processing. I imagine Gina Haspel is at least able to keep the CIA moving in the right direction, or a direction.
Yeah. Yeah, good catch. no, definitely. So because I kind of agree with this, and I think this is actually a... This is an umbrella... I mean, you can elaborate, but this is an umbrella to me to understanding actually a lot of his governing.
Mm-hmm. Because it's kind of focused. I mean, the people around him are kind of focused on this. I mean, it's like Bolton wants. Pompeo is in Iraq today instead of Europe. Or was it yesterday? I don't know where he is today.
Yeah, he's a globe hopping playboy there. He canceled the one to was it Germany?
Mm-hmm. He was going to go to Germany, but instead went to Baghdad to talk about the Iranian presence in Iraq and discuss how they were going to protect Iraqi sovereignty and security.
Isn't that weird that was an emergency?
That seems really I mean, it's an emergency of the United States' creation, so.
Didn't they send some a fleet over there or something too?
Right, they sent the Abraham Lincoln and a squadron of B-52 bombers.
Hmm, yeah.
So, yeah, Iran coming soon to a war near you. But again, this is what his supporters want. They want this, you know, new American empire, this strong military.
Do they... Well, this is getting way... I was going to say, do they know that that's going to backfire and fail?
No, they obviously nobody who would advocate that has ever studied the process, but that's what they want. They're like,
yeah,
they want to see the war crimes and see, you know, let the military get their hands dirty and take off the training wheels, as it were.
Okay, but, so in some sense, we're saying he's a continuation of at least one of the major pathways of, you know, the American political system.
Sure, the Bush-Cheney doctrines.
Yeah, but on the other hand, it is changing something or cementing something or injecting steroids into some aspect of it.
Right, this is the unitary executive on, like, I mean, it was on steroids for the Bush administration. It seems like the addict has progressed to stronger.
This is on like meth. Infinity steroids or something.
Yeah, he's like on meth or PCP or some weird combination of the two.
So, to me, I can see some of that in, you know, other aspects of what he's doing is sort of along those lines, or actually just really mundane, everyday sort of Republican conservative orthodoxy, like the tax cuts. I wouldn't say that blew up a system.
Exactly.
It just was kind of a lot more of the same.
It was. It's like, but an example, as you say, it's like the previous policy, just given a shot of amphetamines.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's also seen in the regulations, like Mulvaney is not entirely an idiot and a details-oriented guy, so they're like going through and just cutting out all the regulations from like the EPA and OSHA and all the things that keep businesses from abusing their workers and the environment.
Okay, and I think there's an argument that if you do enough of that...
it'll matter to the conservatives?
No, well... if you do enough of that over a long enough time, that can, it's more like collapse the system, but, you know, blow up, it's fine, we can use that lingo still. Because, you know, if we get rid of all of this, you know, all of these functions of the government and responsibilities of the government, you know, over time, I mean, that's a very, like, it's kind of like not headline grabbing, sort of blowing up the system, but I mean, that's
like the slow erosion until you realize that they chipped away the foundation underneath it.
Which that's not even Trump right there, too. That's like he's just the guy who got elected to do that. I mean, that's been they've been talking about. I mean, like one thing I find weird here is that like these sort of Bush Republicans pretend like they weren't the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, all this stuff has been magnified. Maybe it was just part of a tapestry of what made the Bush era conservative Republican Party. But like, and for that matter, even back to Reagan. And, you know, some people say like Reagan raised taxes. Reagan liked immigrants. But there's always like that other side to those things. You know, Bush was a Texas governor who loved immigration, but you know, they also demonized during that time period
pretty heavily.
Yeah, it seemed extreme at the time, and you know, like they'd make fun of that like that was like a common way of making fun of them on like from like comedians. I mean, it's not like this didn't come from nowhere, and this has just but been what, as the party has grown, has been what's been latched onto and expanded and focused upon and concentrated. And
in areas that they've seen success, so, you know, continue the success.
Yeah. And so even though it's, you know, blowing up the system doesn't happen overnight. when it's a huge, I mean, like...
It's a huge system that's 200 years old?
Yeah, it's like, you know, this like one of the... It's, I could be wrong, correct me, but between China over the past however many decades and America, these are probably the two largest, like, governments in history.
Oh, yeah, certainly the Chinese government.
I mean, maybe, I guess, India in there in terms of number of people. But, I mean, when you consider them the power that America wields, it's a massive institution. And you know, and extends into private businesses and you know.
And that's, I guess, another way that the Trump administration is grabbing is that it's handing money over to these private contractors with very little regard, which... should start blowing up soon, and has in some cases. Like that one company with the Maria response that they gave that giant contract to that the company couldn't really handle it.
From Whitefish? Whitefish?
Whitefish, yeah. In Monsanto, yeah. A strangely influential town, but maybe it'll be less now that Zinke's gone.
I was reading something about him the other day. This is getting way off topic, but I just thought of like the show and our past conversations about Zinke. He, as Department of the Interior secretary, he set aside land, I believe, outside of Yellowstone. It may be part of Yellowstone. It was a little unclear, but in or near Montana, that where you can do nothing. It's a pure preservation. There's no mining, no hunting, no fishing, no trapping.
Wow.
And I think it may have been mentioned in that one article about the Boundary Waters, actually. Maybe that's where I'd read that. Or at least in something else from her. And anyway, he said, he like gave a quote about it. It's like, you know, like, I believe that we should be smart about using federal land for things, but some places are just too special. And I just, like, you just, like... Like, I am sure there are, like, conservationists around that area with those interests that were like, yay, this is great. You know, he did the right thing. But, I mean, it just makes you feel worse about the things he didn't protect.
Yeah, it's just so selfish.
Yeah, like, who is he?
Selfish. Like, what happened to Bear's Ears? That wasn't, like, pristine and beautiful and worthy of all, every protection. And, I mean, not to mention its cultural significance, but, you know, let's admit that these people don't care about it.
Well, okay, and so, okay, on to what people care about and then not caring about what other people care about and being unempathetic. To me, the two prongs of Trump blowing up some aspect of the system or some system are social and legal.
Yes, I would agree with that. And legal / economic.
Yeah, and the rest, you know, so like the legal thing kind of ties in with unitary executive, which kind of ties into what we were talking about, which isn't that sort of revolutionary or different, but I think you can distill it down to some things that are. Like, and the social thing is just the social war. Like, I think this is the biggest movement by conservative forces in that battle over the past few decades that they all think they're losing, and they kind of are, honestly. I mean,
the harder they fight, the more they lose.
Yeah, and but they found someone who is a charismatic spokesperson for the bigotry and all that. Or just even the resentment to change, you know? It's like, because, like, one thing, it's like, well, I'm not racist, I just don't like things changing so fast. And it's like, okay, I mean, that kind of means you're racist.
Yeah, that means you're racist.
I mean,
it's not really a not racist reason to be, yeah.
You know, but it's like, oh, I'd be fine if there was just a little bit of this in the culture. Or like, oh, I'm fine with, you know, a gay person in my family, but, you know, I don't want to see a gay club down the block or something like that.
Sure. And the gay family member has to be closeted and not bring their love interest to family dinner.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah, exactly. And so it's like, But that's obviously still still pretty bigoted.
Well, it's like, I mean, this is like this. I don't know if it's exactly senility, but an impulse to like just impose control over
that's
things
what,
that you can't control yourself.
That's exactly what. Yes, that's what I was going to say. There's, it's it, it. Even if you don't feel like some sort of like deep seated KKK hatred, that entitlement to control, that's racism.
Yeah,
that's actually probably one of the better useful functioning definitions of racism than kind of what they teach like elementary school kids about like you know lynching or whatever. Where it's like that's mm-hmm. racism. It's like yeah, they're both racism.
It's the definition of privilege, though.
Yes, yes.
Like that ability to control and assume control.
And I,
your interests matter, yeah.
Yeah, and I think they are trying to blow up a system that had and has clear problems, but had mechanisms to drive it towards positive change.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the main... thing I remember from, although he'd probably be a little less complimentary than I would, but like the Howard Zinn book where he talks about how the America was created to kind of go slow, like never change too fast,
but allow some change.
Yes, and so like I mean I'm not gonna go through all American history, but like you know. Mm-hmm. Gay marriage, but then very recent memory, a good change that happened within the system that took too long to happen.
Right.
And they're like trying to like put the brakes, build walls, sometimes literally, to prevent even that. And that to me is fairly radical. It's more like a change in direction or momentum, but I think the amount of change is a blowing up the system type thing. And at least hearing it from the president so openly. And if you think about what most people don't like about Trump, who don't like him, they kind of focus on that type of shit, which on one hand doesn't matter in terms of... I hesitate to even say this because I think it does, but, you know, it'll kind of be like, oh, we have to focus on the policies. Well, I think that's a... Him talking like that is... the extent of his influence on policy, which
right.
is great, it's just not in the weeds.
Mm-hmm. I had a really good point.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, okay, so the wall thing, this is a... Mm-hmm. It's weird abstraction, because people think that they can put a fence around their yard, and their yard is controlled, but somehow put a fence around the country, and the country will be under control.
Yeah, it's just like how people mix personal debt with, like, national debt.
Yeah,
it's
and
like
the
differences.
But the parts of the country that they're trying to blow up are those mechanisms that allow for that slow change.
Exactly, yes.
And that's what... Yeah, like, you know, oversight, which is what he's been on a tirade pretty much his entire presidency about, but is kind of coming to a head mm-hmm. with Barr and Mnuchin.
Mm-hmm.
And he appointed those people because they would make those decisions, especially when he prompted them to.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't find anybody to take, like, the Secretary of Interior or defense jobs because nobody else is willing to do that.
That's shocking. There hasn't even been a nominee.
Yep.
Yeah. So
I mean, Mulvaney's kind of splitting his time between his chief of staff and OMB, right? So,
I think, that gets brought up a lot. I have a little nitpicky point. Anytime that gets brought up, that he serves these. So is he still? He's not still doing CPB though, right?
I don't know. They
whatever.
Put somebody else in there.
Okay. Well, prior to that, when he had the OMB job and that. You had to, like, whenever that was brought up, you had to, like, be specific in that his whole point in leading the Protection Bureau was to make it not do anything. And so it's kind of like the only work he was doing was to make there be a lack of work. And so, like, that really wasn't, like, to me, like, oh, he's doing both jobs. The whole point of one of those jobs was to not do the job.
Right, it doesn't seem like that would take up too much of your time.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so you can't do anything without my signature? Or, like, I'll create an agency regulation that you need my signature to do anything, and I won't be in the office for 7 months.
Isn't that all basically right. what he did?
Yeah.
As I recall, he made all of the CFPB decisions go through him and then just didn't do anything. So.
Yeah, all the enforcement actions, or however they term it. Yeah. Okay, so, but then this gets us on to, because you're talking about how the Trump people are fighting oversight, mm-hmm. and then that's kind of the legal side, which are these, you know, there are these holes in the American federal political system, the three branches, all that shit.
Right, judges are apparently social dictators.
And ideas of executive power, Congress, all that.
Yeah, oversight.
And I think he's not so much like, you know, this is like the, where I go back to, like, I cannot get over that he has no spine. He just really doesn't. His whole existence is to pretend to be someone with spine who doesn't have spine, but they so desperately want to be seen as having a spine that they do crazy shit that it seems like they, like, you actually start to believe, oh, that person has a spine. They did something so shameless. Only someone with a spine would do that.
Are we talking about the China thing? I thought we were going to stay on the government topic.
I know, I'm talking about Trump. And my point is, it's because there's certain things he just won't put himself out there to do. And so in terms of these kind of murky issues around executive power and dividing of government, he like lives in those loopholes instead of trying to like get laws changed or actually win some of, I mean, he has won some, but these like crazy, you know, like his
the Muslim ban and whatnot.
Yeah, his government's litigating so much shit and they lose so much of it.
95% of the time, right?
And it's
just gotten a couple key victories.
Yeah, and so they live in the world where they will survive off of the slow turnover time of these big appellate cases. Or they'll live in the cracks between, you know, like, you know, like, there's a lot of, like, going back to, like, old laws in this administration. Have you noticed this?
Mm-hmm. They're turning out the book. Like, it says in 1922 we can do this, so we can do this.
And instead of, like, well, okay, but there's some questions around that, so let's just go to Congress when, I remind you, they had all but a couple votes to get supermajority in Senate, but they had everything else going for them. And with a couple small compromises, they probably could have done some textual statute changes of shit.
Which reminds me, can I make a slight rejoinder to this whole Trump blowing up the system? Like, Trump also exists in the gap between Congress's rhetoric and its ability to carry out action.
Yes, go on. Yes, totally.
So, like, I guess I hate to bring up her name because I despise her and hate the fact that she's somehow the most progressive person in Congress, according to her own mind, but Nancy Pelosi, like, she said impeachment was off the table, and now the impeachment report, or the Mueller report, is out, and people are beginning to openly talk more about impeachment, and she's still resistant to the hearings, but she's still got, they're somehow holding Trump accountable, and it's like, that is the accountability mechanism. If you do not want him to be president, or you do not want him to continue doing these things, you need to impeach him. He has shown nothing but an aptitude and a willingness to do exactly what he wants to do, which is notionally what you're opposed to. So either oppose him or get out of the way. Because she and Congress and this centrist lack of productive oversight is going to end up killing the system, because oversight depends on Congress asking questions and having potentially controversial hearings.
It does seem like politically the sort of a, to use a metaphor, use a lot, low-hanging fruit for the centrist position would be the strong enforcement of law. Because it's like,
if isn't that the one thing that we're all supposed to agree on? The applicability.
Well, especially of centrists, because like they use that against people like, well, Bernie Sanders, who want to blow up the system, you know, from their perspective, right? You know, oh, someone like Bernie wants to blow up the system and get rid of our slow moving, you know, rule of law system for radical social change, which we probably can't even afford. So if I was a centrist, I'd be like, okay, let's not do all of the Medicare for all stuff, and let's focus on the
law stuff.
But they're getting lost between the rhetoric, and yeah, and I think that's then, you know, Trump surviving on the difference between their actions, their actual and their, you know, actual power and their rhetoric.
Well, and
their own divided rhetoric.
The fucked up thing is that them breaking the system in this way is only fueling Trump, because he can point to it like, oh, Congress isn't keeping anything from happening. You should support me. Like, let's get rid of Congress. You know, not that necessarily he's explicitly said that, but, you know, I'm sure some of his supporters would love to see him just go to a one-branch fucking government.
Okay. I'll say this, though. What's going to happen if Pelosi, or whatever, however it happens, the House starts impeachment, you know that Trump is going to be tweeting no conviction within, seconds. Because he'll rely on the Senate, won't convict him, and he'll be like, look, they couldn't even convict me. And act like it's some sort of, jury of his peers or whatever. Yeah. You know, an actual court of law thing. It's like, no, you just had political protection from Turtle Man. But
the turtle shell covers him.
And so, I don't know, I think that's what Pelosi is afraid of. But, I don't know, we've talked about this before. I think there's a lot of good arguments against her, as you're bringing up.
But
let's even say this. Trump is also surviving amongst the difference between the parties.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, he didn't start. He's a result of this. He's a result of people, selling their soul for a Supreme Court seat when they voted in 2016. And, you know, or for a tax cut. You know, but they're like, that's okay to have some senile racist president. And
I mean, it's not like we're not racist.
Because he's at least a Republican.
Right.
And it almost helps him that Democrats, because think about it, how often does he talk? What do fucking Republicans love? They love pissing off Democrats. So the Democrats are pissed off at him. They love it. Mm-hmm. And he's just living within this. He, lives in this, dark chasm between the parties. And he just, yells up to one side, I'm one of you. And yells up to the other side, fuck you.
It's the brown shirt issue, too. Because, you know, we get this rhetoric going. It stirs up passion. But the funny thing is that once law enforcement or, you know, those oversight mechanisms get involved, suddenly the roaches scatter.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's consequences for our actions. Well, actually, it was his actions. I'm gonna go back to California.
Yeah. Okay. So, let's talk about... I don't even think we need to talk about that much, but... is there a difference between the way a voter may have thought about how Trump may, quote, blow up the system in 2016 and today, based off of even a sort of mega hat view of his presidency?
You're assuming that they have some kind of internal cohesive principles and...
Yeah.
Of something,
okay,
that doesn't change with Fox News' editorializing.
No, and okay, that's a good point, and that's probably true. So,
those goalposts do laps around the planet,
and they are able to essentially get you to think, okay, maybe it's not exactly what you thought, but this is really good. You know, this is what you want. This is really what you wanted the whole time. You know, yeah.
Which is the wall. For some reason.
It's just a fight about the wall, I think.
That's all they want. They just want to trigger libs, and they...
Yeah.
It's infuriating because it doesn't...
It's not, I shouldn't say, it's not about the wall, it's not about the fight about the wall. It's about, like, either. It's the win-win prospect of, because they like the conflict and pissing someone off, even if they don't get the thing they are advocating for, they still feel like it's a victory. And that's, like, fucking kind of sick.
Yeah, they still get their argument and, like, people's feelings get hurt and they think they triggered other liberal, or they triggered the libs, as it were, but... Really, nobody's winning, and certainly the least fucking... The people who are winning the least in this situation are Trump supporters who have genuine social and economic issues that need to be addressed.
Oh, yeah, no, they're not winning shit. I mean, the farmers, the factories, it's a bunch of lies.
The laborers, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, like, but they have a president who sticks it to Colin Kaepernick.
Right.
Like,
what
I think
the notion of that they could, the president that they could have a beer with, that just, do they not know Trump doesn't drink?
Yeah, but he parties.
Yeah, but I guess those people just wish they could afford the cocaine.
I mean, even beyond the substances, he's just a, you know, like, he's so insane that it's like, everyone knows that's like, well, I could have a conversation with him. And it wouldn't be, it would just be him talking at them. And, you know, a smile and a handshake. But, like, they feel because he's been on TV, there's, like, a TV, like, pedestal thing going on.
Mm.
Which is, like, better than having a beer. It's meeting a celebrity. I mean, right? Like,
yeah, meeting a celebrity.
Like, would you rather just have, like, a nice 15-minute conversation with someone at a bar or run into... Who's a famous person? Donald Trump, I guess.
Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, I was thinking him too. That's weird. Avengers. Yeah, like, you know, like, oh, I ran into, you know, I got a selfie with, you know, Robert Downey Jr. today. Like, that's, like, to most people, like, I don't give a shit about celebrities, but a lot of people do, and that's okay. And I think he just capitalized on that as much as anyone. Okay, so, and even that in itself kind of points to, like, some sort of fucked up version of blowing up the system, where it's like, if I don't elect someone who's already a politician, that'll change the way politics is done. But I never followed the logic of that. And we're certainly not seeing, I mean, I don't even know what the argument would be, how he's, besides being racist and sexist, how is he doing that?
Changing politics?
Yeah, like, how is he changing... I mean, he's making about himself, but, like, how is he making, like, a change in the political order, hold on, that like, other people can take advantage of in 15 years?
Well, it's the exercise of power changes the way power is used, right? Let's look at his regulations and how he's, like, rearranging the federal bureaucracy. If nothing else, he's establishing precedent that the president can unilaterally just... I mean, Bush did this, but even more now, it's...
Yeah.
He's just going to be able to do exactly what he wants, so in 15 years, if there is a presidency in the same way, it's only going to get worse.
But is that what... Like, if you would have been able to sit down with an average Trump voter, or average anything voter, but, you know, primarily the people who voted for him, would they have wanted a... I guess maybe they would, because they kind of like that businessman who can kind of run it without, you know, hands tied behind the back.
Mm-hmm. That's what they're looking for. They're, like, management without, you know, oversight. Like, the unit... Yeah. They want a dictator. They really want a dictator, and they think business is, like...
Okay.
An indication of any objective reality, rather than just notional, like... Success in business is success in that business model. Like, particular functions of that business. Just because you succeeded at that doesn't mean you are good at anything else.
Yeah, but what if you failed at business?
What if you failed so hard that you're literally the biggest loser in America for nearly a fucking decade?
So that's all fine and good what you're saying about succeeding at business, but...
Yeah.
What if people just thought you succeeded at business and... It's preposterous. Yeah,
it's passed through fucking money laundering, and now it's in the open. It's the only way that guy has any relevance or fucking measure of success, because he was used by other people so that he could claim their fucking money for them. Sorry for the cursing.
No, that's what the whole Atlantic City shit was about, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, basically all of his businesses, but especially since then.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, literally the one he had from birth was a way to launder money to him, right? The whole thing where he's a millionaire by three or whatever, because they had that company that bought shit for his dad's companies and marked up the price and then sold it to the dad's company.
Yep, fraud.
Yeah.
Fraud.
So, okay. So he's blowing up some legal parts of the system, some social legal parts. What?
Like, we can talk about the emoluments. Like, he's been brazen in that.
Well, that'll never be enforced now.
Well, I mean, but he's the one who instigated that. Like, the president making so much money off of his official functions is just, well, it's absurd and absurd.
I have a question about this emoluments thing. So, the way... So, I'm confused with the emoluments. Because in the past, presidents would not accept, you know, like, this gift from... You know, it's not even something to bribe. It's just like, you know, a fucking Shah of Iran gives Eisenhower a, you know, golden scimitar or some shit. And it's just like, you know, it's more, it's for the country, right? It's to him, but it's for the country. But those things would be rigorously, if they're above a certain monetary value, cataloged and given to, what, Smithsonian or National Archives or some shit like that?
Yeah, like it would become government property.
Yeah. Are they doing that with the not... So, like, there's the Trump hotels, the, you know, a bunch of UAE diplomats or fucking whatever staying at, what, that old post house near the White Post Office?
Yeah, Trump International.
And elsewhere. So, are buying these, you know, like, marked up memberships to Mar-a-Lago or whatever other clubs he has. So obviously that's a problem and, you know, is not being handled sufficiently, but that's a problem. But, like, what about those normal types of things that all presidents have been put in those positions and just followed the rules and just, like, here, take this? Are they doing that? And if they aren't, why would they?
I mean, I assume...
There's no accountability.
Because if they were doing something that brazen, it would be reported.
See, I was thinking the opposite. I was thinking it wouldn't be reported. Because if you think about it, this gift is given in a room with just, like, a few of the closest people to each person. And...
Wow, you're way more cynical about it than even I am, but...
But, you know, they give him this, you know, 14-karat gold pen or some shit, you know, which he'd love, right?
Sure.
It says Trump... It's like a heart on it with, like, Trump and, you know, I don't want to make the... Yeah, there you go. I didn't want to make the Putin joke. but he's like, oh, this is touching. Like, I love this. I'm going to take it because it honors me and I love myself. Who around him within that staff would, you know, like, take that anywhere?
Would anybody say no?
At this point, like, it's okay, maybe in those first few months, right?
Right.
But, like...
Even the raging alcoholic would have said that was a little bit too far.
Bannon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, because... And I don't think his base would care. If you told them that some world leader... Fucking Kim Jong-un or whatever. Like, even a really bad one, right? Gave Trump some physical object worth $10,000. And that got into the press. And it was triple sourced. Fucking Kelly went on the record saying it. Who the fuck would care? They're already litigating emoluments issues. And they're like, meh.
Look at that. Look how much respect they're giving our guy.
Yeah. They're like, yeah, that's what world leaders are supposed to do. It's like that time Churchill gave blah, blah, blah. You know, like, even the high-minded ones would be, I don't know. No one gives a shit about that stuff. Nope. At least his base does not give a shit because of kind of what we're talking about, that they want a dictator.
Right, if people cared about corruption, they're no longer in his base.
Yes.
It's easy.
Excuse me. No, I think this conversation has helped me understand his... I think the easy answer was always Trump's governing is not going to give him a huge boost to his base or a huge loss from his, you know... I don't even want to say his base. I just mean, like, the general group of people who... an amount of people who voted for him or who have been answering phones saying, I approve of Trump.
Not until Fox News really turns on him.
Which, yeah. And so... you know, despite, I think, there being differences between a kind of prediction of how he would have, quote, blown up the system and how he has blown up aspects of the system, I agree with you, that doesn't matter. I think it's because of this point that I remember really early on when the data was coming in from the 2016 election, they were like, actually, one of the big points of difference between voting for Hillary or I guess voting for Trump or just not voting for Trump was that kind of desire for a strong man, pro-authoritarian streak.
Mm-hmm.
And we sort of forget that. Well, I don't know if we forget it, but, you know, it doesn't get talked about as much as it kind of did really early on, because I think we've sort of been lulled into this accepting of it, even his critics.
And, well, I mean, if you look at Obama's administration, how many of the notional centrists and Democrats are really against authoritarianism?
Yeah, I mean, there's shades of gray here, and I think there can be a lot of shades in between.
Sure, but, you know, I think in the dark of the night, a lot of those people would be okay if there was a dictator that was willing to do what they wanted to
be done. Okay, so let's get to then... Okay,
Bernie
so...
people.
Yeah, so, because I was... Like, how many of Bernie's supporters would... If he was doing the things that they... Or at least close enough to the things that they wanted. Like, I think Trump's voters and Trump... I think there's enough overlap there, particularly when you bring up the authoritarian thing. What if... I mean, do Bernie's people want, like, a liberal socialist authoritarian? Some of them?
I'm sure there would be some of them that would be interested in that, but for the most part, considering how... apt people, especially in, I guess, the vocal Bernie crowd that I've seen, how apt they are to, like, hold him accountable, I don't think they would want some kind of unitary executive with no oversight.
That's true. I think also a difference could be Bernie doesn't, like, the only, you know, okay. I've seen this brought up as a critique, like, by really stupid, like, DC media political establishment types, like the really dumb ones. They'll say things like, you know, politics nowadays is always about being against someone and being divisive. Like Trump, you know, demonizes this group and that, you know, Mexicans and that group. And or like Bernie, demonizes billionaires. And I think the conversation needs to pause right there. And first of all, billionaire is a choice. No one has to be a billionaire.
Right.
Secondly, it's a very small group of people. Even in the country with tons of billionaires, you know, like literally like, what, a couple thousand or something billionaires? Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot.
Tens of thousands, maybe.
And, you know, and then hundreds of millionaires are pretty much the same. You know, and then Trump, or I mean, then Bernie may demonize a few big companies. But, like, that's not really, like, a lot of kind of... demagogic, even liberal dictators in history often pick out a bigger group to demonize. And I don't think he does that, so I feel like that's a really unfair bunching.
Like, he's not bringing more vitriol into the opposition of those particular parties. He's just saying things can change. He's not telling his supporters to go out and attack people or...
And he doesn't even hint in that direction.
Not even a hint.
Yes,
I mean, remember, totally agree. I'm sick of, and tired of her goddamn emails.
Agreed, yeah.
Is to always defuse the situation, you know, pull out that emotional energy so that rational action can be accomplished.
Yeah, he does. He's like, let's step back for a second and think about this rationally.
Right?
Yeah, Bernie's my favorite impression to do. Okay. So then what, when a sort of generic person, whoever that is, however you want to answer the question, thinks about how Bernie is blowing up a system, what do they mean?
Bernie is, I guess, aimed at some systems, but they're like, you know, the private medical insurance companies mm-hmm. and other entrenched status quo systems that exist to enrich and maintain the power of, you know, those mm-hmm. billionaires and a certain group of people.
Okay.
I'm not talking like affirmative action because it's not exactly a class thing. And if it were, it wouldn't be, you know, the same kind of class war that Trump would want to wage.
So, do you agree with the... So, not taking the term blow up the system literally, because we're not talking about, like, warmongering apocalyptos, but, like, do you agree that he... I mean, do you think it's fair to say he's a radical change, blow up the system type candidate?
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay.
Bernie is, like, the... A kind of a centrist socialist, if I could say that.
Yeah.
Because there are far more radical people who would do way more dangerous things given half of a chance.
I think... I mean, yeah, to even think... Yes, I totally agree with that. And I think actually just... He doesn't use the term as much... correct me if I'm wrong. Does he use social democrat a lot? Or, democratic socialist? Or is that term used about him?
It's kind of used about him. I don't think he's... I mean, I'm sure he would describe himself that way, but okay. He isn't, like, bring it to the forefront of people's minds.
My understanding of that movement in general is sort of a, in terms of the scope of history, a sort of centrist socialist position.
Yeah, more like Milwaukee mayoral positions of the past.
Yes, 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 yes.
Like, let's get the sewers working, get the critical infrastructure running so that the city will be better above it.
Yeah, my ward should no longer be under 3 feet of sewage.
Look at that running water.
So, okay. Would you disagree with the notion, though, that there are people, I don't even want to say a base, but there is a vocal portion that are, who kind of support Bernie, though sometimes may not, actually, but that sort of wing of the left that are blow-up-the-system types?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Okay. As I said, there are people who would genuinely do very, very dangerous things given half of a chance, and their compromise is Bernie.
Yes, okay.
He's delivering the outcomes that they want, or at least he's pointed in them.
So that percentage may be, I mean, maybe not, but might be smaller of his support, at least as we speak now in May of 2019.
Compared to, like, Tulsi Gabbard and Mike Gravel?
Well, I mean more compared to Trump in 2016. Or even today. Smaller.
Like, Trump's supporters from the beginning, like, he was the anti-establishment blow-up-the-system candidate, and that's what got him, like, even a nose ahead of the rest of the field.
Do you think it's... Go ahead, finish that.
It's pretty much the one distinguishing thing about him in the Republican primary, especially at the beginning in 2016.
So, So, if we have concluded that on some level, Trump has sufficiently blown up enough of the system to satisfy a, granted, maybe easily satisfied, base, if elected, would Bernie do enough for that portion of his base? Would he be able to? Because the reason I say is because I don't think the type of change Bernie, even if we're getting away from the blow up the system, just the type of change he wants to do is as rooted in, or could be as rooted in fucking tweets than, I mean, because honestly, that's like, honest to God, what the fuck does Trump do besides tweet? Like, if you really think about his presidency, most of it can be seen through tweets. Like, you don't even have to know much else.
Nope. I mean, Sarah Huckabee Sanders barely gives press briefings anymore, so we don't have that window.
He barely gives speeches. The only version, I mean, like, he does rants, right? Which are just right. Twitter threads.
Yeah.
Or he does, like, the things where he's about to get on a helicopter and says, like, you know, no collusion, which is just another form of tweet. He's just like a soundbite president.
Yep.
So, I don't think Bernie can govern
the same way.
Yeah, I mean, he can't accomplish what he wants to accomplish and his voters would want him to accomplish through those means. He actually has to do government stuff.
But I will say this is to backtrack and defend Bernie slightly. Like, a lot of those supporters don't exactly have coherent demands.
Yeah, a lot of them voted for Trump.
I mean, I love the left, and I agree with their points like 99% of the time, but there's no cohesive political program, especially in the fringe elements. Like, there could be, like, very strong demands that they could make, like end stock buybacks, reforming Wall Street in, you know, other fundamental ways. Mm-hmm. But those demands aren't there, so Bernie's, like, bar to jump over is really kind of low. But, you know, so is Trump's.
Oh, Okay. I see what you're saying. Well, okay. So you're saying there is a way, though, that... Yeah, we don't have to get into the weeds of, like, hypothetical, like, Senate debates 3 years from now.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about Bernie being able to carry out his agenda, because even without the president's bully bullpit, he made Jeff Bezos blink. So,
yeah,
you know...
Yeah.
Him as president is going to be, you know, far more powerful.
Yeah. Okay, so. And do we view that, as a economic political system change?
Sure, legal too. Like, Bernie Sanders, with his ability to dig into the legislative weeds, would really dig into the bureaucracy and make some probably profound changes pretty quickly.
This goes back to kind of the original thing, which is the difference between the two. So, like, but him messing with some, like, I don't see Bernie Sanders blowing up the legal system through ignoring subpoenas, you know, lying to investigators.
I mean, he might blow up the legal system by making it so that ordinary people will have better and more, timely access to the legal system. That would be a good change. Like, let's fund some public defenders.
Yeah, but he wouldn't put children in cages and then ignore court orders about it or something like that.
Right. Give Congress a couple big middle fingers. I'm just waiting for Trump and his whole cabinet, like, flipping off the camera in response to Congress.
Just, like, take a group. Like, one hand's flipping off, the other hand's making that okay symbol.
Yep, that's exactly what it would be.
Yeah.
And that's a difference between Trump and Bernie. His okay is actually means okay and not, like, some crypto-fascist fucking hand signal.
Not, I'm a secret racist, yeah. Yeah, you can totally see, like, Trump's official portrait, or some portrait, like, you know, hanging in the Smithsonian someday, him, like, making that symbol.
Like, his hands are just, like, on his lap, but his left hand is making the symbol as it rests on his leg.
What would Trump have to do, given another year and a half, or four more after that, or even more?
I thought they were extending his presidency by a couple of years to account for the Mueller investigation.
Gonna extend the presidency until there's no more Democrats?
Because that's fucking how that works, in any way.
What would he have to do to, like, as far as I know, America has never erased the legacy of a president. Like, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's been done so well I don't know about it. Like, you know, we know the name, but, like, hey, there used to be a lot more pictures of James Buchanan up, you know, but...
Calvin Coolidge, we used to be the man.
You know, like, we just kind of, like, move on. What would it take to not move on? I mean, a civil war didn't do it.
Right?
I mean, we still, like, talked about, you know, like, we, in some sort of historical objective sense, you know, we don't, like... Like, we say, like, James Buchanan was a terrible president, but we don't, like, kind of, like, pretend he didn't... He, like, wasn't president.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know if, like, that's...
I think what has to happen, I think, well, I guess Trump's case, is his legacy is going to stick with us for, unfortunately, way too long, but...
Yeah, the rest of our goddamn lives.
Quickly. Yeah. It might get erased pretty quickly, but unfortunately we're probably going to have to deal with the consequences, at least of the environmental ramifications, if nothing else, forever.
Oh my god, yeah.
But I think the problem with American history is that it's always been... like marked by negative, painful moments. I think a way that Bernie or really any Democratic candidate could like really overcome Trump's legacy is by enacting universal health care or universal college or some kind of universal child care program, something that is a genuinely positive, uplifting moment for American society.
Would you even connect those ideas? Is that kind of what you're almost like saying messaging wise, like kind of like a, you know, like, hey, we're on fire. Well, let's rise from these ashes stronger.
Yeah.
Like a Phoenix campaign.
Mm-hmm. That's the only way to beat Trump. Because if you try, like, if Biden tries to deal with Trump on his own merits, he's going to lose. Even if Bernie tries to, like, get in the mud with Trump a little bit, he's going to lose. But Bernie can encapsulate that Phoenix moment and has at least some history to back it up.
Okay, Bernie is... Actually, I think there's a couple of the candidates that are pretty good about this sort of thing. But Bernie has the longest... Well, even actually Warren. Because Warren was campaigning for Hillary a lot in 2016. They both do a good job of kind of, like... They don't... I wouldn't say get into the mud with Trump, but they're like... They're like, of course he said that.
He's a narcissistic liar. But we need to talk about the real issues.
Right?
Like, it's like they get it out of the way kind of quick. And then talk about whatever they want to talk about. Which may kind of be related, but doesn't have to be. Bernie's... He's really good at that. I mean, he's... Whenever there's a Trump thing, he's like...
Of course he said that. He's a liar.
Yeah, right? He just knows how to call him on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, make the gas escape and, like, just a pinprick.
He doesn't have a discussion on Trump's terms.
No.
Which would be really interesting in a debate.
Mm-hmm. Make Except Trump come to him. Some days are sunny, some days are rain. Destroy the myth that will break our chains. Break your chains!